Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 188 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. Feeling rather fresh on a Sunday morning for the first time in a very, very long time after Everton recorded the first win of the season. Surprisingly, some may think and some may say, away at Brentford, but we are all fresh as daisies here and can't wait to discuss a positive Everton performance. Three goals, obviously, to go through. Solid defensively, some standout performances. But before we do all that, delighted to say we've been joined by the founder of Kitted Out, Paul Morgan. Now, I've had Paul on the B-side at going back probably 2 years ago now to discuss Kitted Out, what it's all about. But Paul, welcome to the show. Great to have you on a happy Sunday morning. But obviously we're going to discuss the game. Paul's a bit of a big Everton fan as well. But before we do, Paul, just let our listeners know what Kitted Out is all about and what you're looking to do going forward as well.
So me and my partner Michelle and John set up Kitted Out for people without football kits. I mean, we've got loads of kids going to football these days who haven't got the right equipment on, and you've got rules on AstroTurf now where you need to wear these type of boots and you can't wear this. And we were going to community centres first and giving kits out to families in there and finding out some stories of some kids haven't even got football equipment to use, so they're using their school uniforms, and then they've got no money for new school uniforms. So it was a catch-22 early. So we just thought, let's start trying to get kits in that people have grew out of, because it doesn't matter what year the kit's from or whatever, as long as you've got something to play football in and you look the same as all your other kids. I mean, that's all we were looking for, and from there really it excelled.
And it's, I mean, as I say, we discussed this a little while ago ourselves on the B-side, and you've got a big presence now on social media. You do some fantastic collections, and I've seen some of the piles of kits that both Everton and Liverpool have sent to you. Yeah. Obviously, people have provided as well. What are you looking to do going forward now? Because I know we had a brief chat in the week about things going forward. What's the plans now as we look towards Christmas? Is there a new push for kits, for collections and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, football kits are getting more expensive every year. It's a bit of a joke now to buy a football kit for one kid. You're talking £50-60, but if you've got two or three kids, you can't just buy it for one kid. And then people say, well, just don't get a football kit then. But it's all right saying that, but if your son or daughter's out with the mates and you've got the kit on or they're going to football, it's not being spoiled. It's just fitting in, really. And society we live in, it's best if we can help everyone fit in at the times. But yeah, going towards Christmas, we're going to have a big push for all donations of new kits, old kits, whatever people can give, and then we can just get them out to, as I say, community centres and just help. Even if we help one person be able to play a game of football, that'll be amazing for us, and that's our job. We're also going into the Sunday and Saturday League, like the amateur leagues, so we're talking to a few teams now. We've got kits that they don't use anymore, so that can be passed on to a new upcoming team in the leagues and stuff like that. So it's just about trying to help everyone, really, and keep costs down for everyone at this time, especially.
So the message is, everyone, keep your eyes peeled on social media. Obviously, the main platform that a lot of us use is Twitter or X, as you now want to call it. So on there, it's @KittedOut1. So everyone get following. Keep your eye out on any kind of post. We'll obviously make sure that we retweet as well and support as we can. So everyone, just keep your eyes peeled over the next few weeks or so. And if you can help out in any way, shape or form, obviously make sure you do in the run up to Christmas. So everyone, like you say, you know, kids especially can get involved and play the game that we all love.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Absolutely love it, Paul. And as I say, we'll support ourselves, of course. But let's move on if we can. Let's have a lovely uplifting conversation about Everton winning the game of football, because we all forgot what it felt like. Last win, obviously, Bournemouth, last game of the season, in dramatic circumstances. And since then, you know, we've discussed it over the last few weeks. We've been unlucky in games. We should have probably won at least two of the games that we've lost. But the pressure was on. You know, we had, was it 1 point from five games? After, got to be said, last weekend against Arsenal, against a good Arsenal side, it was a probably real low point in a way, because of the fact that we didn't really lay a glove on them or offer anything in the final third of the pitch. But Pete, how are you feeling this morning after watching that? You know, a game that we, when we discussed it last week in the preview, we said, you know, a point would be good. You know, give us some kind of platform going into Luton at home. But looking back on that yesterday, looking back on the goals, the overall performance, it was certainly one of the higher points in Sean Dyche's reign, wasn't it?
Yeah, much needed and well timed. I mean, we were talking just prior to recording, weren't we, about how kind of surreal it feels to reconnect with that winning feeling. It's nice, but it's strange, and it's a statement of how difficult things have been. I think, I mean, it was a really impressive win, and you know, not to take anything away from how we played, but I don't know what was up with Brentford, but whoever we played yesterday, it wasn't the Brentford that we've seen over the past couple of seasons, because they just look completely lost. You know, I thought we really took our chance, and I think my worry in the first half was that Brentford were going to come out and win it. I'd absolutely convinced myself at half time that we wasted some really, really good chances in that first period. But thankfully, we came out and we maintained the same level of performance, and we took the game to Brentford. And it was just like, it's like every second ball we seemed to win. We were, I think, commanding in the air. I think we won something like nearly 70% of all aerial duels. So we were really, really dominant, and I'm glad that we managed to get a couple of extra goals to, you know, maybe take some of the pressure off our goal scoring record and a lot of the attention that's been on that. It's fantastic. Calvert-Lewin got his goal. I thought Beto was unlucky to come off. I know we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I was really impressed with Beto yesterday. I know he's coming for a little bit of flack for the chance when Garner Gay slid him through, and I don't know whether he's hit it into the ground or he's scuffed it, but you know, he made the right run. I thought he was a real handful. I just thought he absolutely battered Brentford centre halves, and they didn't know how to deal with him. So it was nice to see us bounce back with a performance after the way we lost against Arsenal. I know, like you say, Arsenal are a very, very good team. And probably nobody expected us to get anything from that game. But I think the thing that deflated a lot of fans was the way that we performed, and that kind of lack of fight and heart. And that was really there yesterday. And again, that's always your fundamental, isn't it, for any football club, but especially for Everton. So it was nice to see that. And I know we've all got our kind of favourites from the game in terms of performances. But one person I wanted to highlight was James Garner. Because we discussed the team sheet, didn't we, obviously before kickoff. And I think we were probably a little bit surprised not to see Dan Juma on that right-hand side. And I think there was probably a slight worry that it was perhaps a negative lineup, let's say, from Sean Dyche, and that he was playing for the draw. And I thought, gosh, this is just going to be a terrible game now. Terrible game. You know, we're not going to be able to get up the pitch. We're going to be really deep. and I'm gonna, I'm gonna have to sit through this for 90 minutes. But it was really the opposite, and I think they highlighted it a little bit in the kind of post match on Sky. I think James Garner was actually given a little bit more freedom to come inside and get on the ball and affect the game, and he really did. I was really, really impressed with him, and it was nice to see as well that we managed to see him in his favoured position as well. I think for something like, it was the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so when Onana came off, because I think there's a really, really good football in James Garner, and he played a role in obviously two of the goals as well.
But on that though, Peter, the James Garner point's really important, because as you say, before the game we were discussing the lineup, weren't we? And all the talk was, and I held my hands up and said, when I put a tweet out before the game, so Sean Dyche is a bit weird at times. We look at what happened against Arsenal, obviously a better side, but then what we've done is we take out Dan Juma, who's a goal threat, and bring in James Garner, and you think about how isolated Beto was against Arsenal. And
exactly.
Is it going to be worse? So we all had that conversation, and we've seen James Garner playing wide right. Of course, this season hasn't really worked because he's not a winger. And it's no slight on him. He's a good footballer, but obviously the manager knows more about football than all of us, and that's all that I can really say. But James Garner's inclusion, Lee, was one, as I say, which caused a lot of discussion. I'm just looking at his heat map from yesterday. Obviously, the eye test as well says it all. But okay, he was concentrated fairly heavily on the right hand side, but he also spent a lot of time in the middle and also a little bit towards the left as well during the game. And it shows that when we look at sides and we look at teams and lineups and how we think the manager's going to set up, we don't always know the true picture, do we? And this is where sometimes we can come a little bit unstuck. And sometimes you've got to look past the name, the position, of the player that's being taken out and what they bring to the game, and trust the manager in his selection.
Yeah, I think in modern football now, positions aren't stationary, innit? You've got to be flexible, and you've got to be interchangeable in the game. I think Pete's right. I think Dyche alluded to the fact he brought Garner in with the Arsenal thing as well, to try and see if he could try and come in central. But we didn't have the ball. Arsenal dominated that game. But it's easy to do that when you've obviously won, and he's vindicated for doing it. But I do agree with your point in the fact that it's important that players... I noticed at times when Onana and Idrissa Gueye were pushing on, he was just dropping into that little hole as well to cover them. But it's important that players do have that sort of ability to recognise as well. It's in-game management, isn't it? To be able to recognise when another player's pushed forward, I'll drop in. We said it numerous times. Gareth Barry was a genius at that. He always knew where to be at the right time, and that's just the ability to read the game and read the landscape. I thought obviously Garner's rightly going to get applauded. He was one of our best players yesterday. I agree with you, Mike. We had a chat before the game going, how on earth are you dropping Dan Juma, who's arguably one of our biggest goal threats, one of our best ball carriers. And I think I said to you, the only reason he's doing it is so he gets McNeil in his favourite position on the left-hand side. Because obviously McNeil, if you asked him, he would never want to play on the right. He'd always want to play on the left.
He was terrific, by the way, Dwight McNeil.
He was everywhere, wasn't he? He was everywhere. He's another one that covered every blade of grass. He got stuck in. He looked a threat when he was on the ball. He was another player that had an outstanding game yesterday. But I just wanted to say, let's put it in context, whether Brentford turned up or not, Thomas Frank has rightly been lauded. I do like Thomas Frank. I think he's a fantastic manager. He was on Monday Night Football, wasn't he, with Carragher the other day. I thought he came across really well. Sky are lapping him up, and rightly so. He deserves it. But we did catch them on an off day. But at the same time, look at their record at home. They've only lost one in the last 18 games in the Premier League at home. That's incredible, really. So they give everybody a game, and not many teams will go to Brentford this season and thoroughly deserve a win. Obviously, your Arsenals and your Cities will probably go there and dominate the ball, yes. But they've beaten City, I think, twice in that 18-game period as well. I think they showed it on Monday Night Football. He's beaten quite a lot of the top six. So, you know, he's no mug, and they're no mugs as a football team. You know, the recruitment's brilliant. We all knew this would be a really tough game. But it echoes almost to the Brighton result, wasn't it, in terms of how we played. I think we got the balance right. We were so much better in possession than we were, obviously, last week. Okay, again, a different side, but still, you know, we passed it well. We were aggressive at the right times. Like Pete said, we won a lot of aerial duels. I thought Branthwaite, by the way, I mean, this kid, he's some player. Everyone's saying that, you know, John Stones, he reminds me of John Stones. In fact, he does in some ways, and his composure on the ball and his ability to pass the ball, and he's two-footed. He almost reminds you a little bit of John Terry, you know. Like he's a bit more physical, isn't he? A bit more demanding commanding in the air than Stones was at that age. And obviously we all know Terry was two-footed and good on the floor and everything else. So really impressed with him. He's been fantastic since he's come in the side. And like Pete said before, I mean, I said to you guys briefly before we started recording, I know Beto's come in for a bit of stick because he's obviously not very easy on the eye. But he was fantastic yesterday. He gave us a real focal point. He occupied the centre halves. You know, he just really out-muscled them. You know, look, let's be honest here, guys. He's been lobbed into the side. No adjustment period. How many players, no matter how, you know, the class, even your Henri's and people, they always take a good few months to get used to the pace of this league. It's a ridiculously quick league. He's just been thrown straight in there because we were struggling. You know, we had Mope up there who offered us nothing. And let's be fair, he's been absolutely brilliant since he's come in. He hasn't got the goal in the Premier League. But, you know, he gave us a real focal point yesterday. And we were allowed to build from there. You know, he won some great flick-ons. He held the ball up well. You know, he's running in behind. He made a great run, like Pete said. It was unlucky not to score, sort of scuffed it. But that for me, you see there, that chance there where he makes the late run, he sprints, he gets in behind. You see, in a few months, I think he probably takes a bit more time there and just thinks it over the keeper. You know, when you're playing in this league and it's so quick and he's used to it, everything being a lot slower, you know, he's got in there, he's rushed it, hasn't he? He's just rushed the chance and then scuffed it into the ground. But, you know, anyone that's given him stick needs to take a look at themselves because he's made a huge difference. And to be fair, you know, for me, we're on 4 points now, which is needed. But we'd be sitting on 10 points right now if he'd have started the season. I can guarantee you that right now. If he'd have been in the team at the start of the season, we'd have definitely got a result against Wolves and definitely got a result against Fulham. And that game yesterday, you know, that was the difference between the two sides. You know, Beto came on, you know, gave the centre-half, as I said, a real game. And then we brought Calvert-Lewin on. You know what I mean? And then there was no respite for them. And then obviously Dom comes on and gets his goal. So the brilliant thing is there, and we said this as soon as we signed Beto, competition, isn't it? Competition, lads. You know, Calvert-Lewin's coming in there going, now, right, I'm not guaranteed a game now. You know, and Dyche has now got a decision to make, isn't he? Who's he going to play next now? And that's what we want. And, you know, competition just creates standards. And I thought Dom, when he came on, acquitted himself brilliantly. So he looked really sharp. So I'm really happy with the win. And to be honest, it just lifts the whole club. It really is. You know, every single news outlet, every single tweet on Twitter seems to be negative about Everton, even from our own fan base as well. And understandably so in some cases, because it's been a nightmare off the pitch. But when you're winning games on the pitch, it makes a massive difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a huge lift to the mood, isn't it? You know, straight away, we all feel better in ourselves after getting 3 points. Like you say, if we started the season with, you know, when we had 10 points at this moment in time, the off-the-field stuff, massively important, by the way, but it wouldn't be in your mind as much and impacting you as much, because it's been a tough week this week, you know, with you all other horror stories and talk of administration and things like that. And, you know, you can't get it out of your mind because the performance is on the pitch, have not brought about many points at all. You know, the concern is real. But obviously going back to yesterday, obviously you mentioned a few standout performances there. But one thing I want to pick up on, Paul, is we spoke last week about, as many people did, how poor our set pieces were and the fact that the manager kept Ashley Young on corners and free kicks in and around the area. Yesterday, obviously Dwight McNeil's taking corners, free kicks, as is James Garner. And it leads to two goals. You know, the first goal, looking at that one, if we can first of all, obviously we win a corner comes in, gets cleared. But then obviously we recycle quickly. James Garner puts the ball back in. Lovely little knockdown by Tarkowski. And there's Decore doing what he's done so well in recent times and puts the ball in the back of the net. So how pleasing was it for you, Paul, to see us actually become and basically be a threat like we were last season under Dice? Because when he came in, he made some really subtle changes to obviously our setup from corners and free kicks in and around the area. And we were always a threat. We scored numerous goals from set pieces. And we've looked a little bit toothless, I think, this season, especially against Arsenal last week. So how good was it to see us get back to doing what we were doing so well at the back end of last season under the manager?
Yeah, it was amazing to see, really. I mean, people are saying Brentford weren't on it. And you can say that they didn't turn up, but Everton were on it. And we did turn up and we bossed most of the game. Obviously, when we conceded the AMD equaliser, we were a bit shaky for a few minutes or something, but after that again we were composed on the ball, passing about Anana, easy passing, just controlling it, and we were playing some nice football. Obviously set pieces is where we're going to be at our most lethal. Like Tarkowski in the air is winning most edges that the ball gets sent to him, so it was good to see it working in a knockdown. And as I say to Corey, he's a great player, finishing wise he's a great player. He hit the bar as well. I could have went in, it would have been a much more easier first half for us. But again, going back to what Lee said with Jared Brandwaite, this is what the fans are on about. I think, I don't know who's looked at him last season or the season before and thought, you know what, we're all right with what we've got. He can go out on loan and he comes back in. You'd only have to look at him for three games or something to know how composed he is on the ball and how just a complete centre back he is for such a young age already. There's nothing really phases him. He's always confident. Even players running at him, he always knows where to put the players and show them what way to go, and he's always there on the tackle. So I think that's just what we were missing, really. Just mad decisions like that from people above the players who were saying we can let it go out, and we're stuck with centre-backs last season who maybe weren't on it or maybe weren't even into performing for the team. And as I say, it's just a few decisions like that where you're just thinking, who is pulling the strings there and who's making that decision? But as you say, yeah, set pieces, we were lethal all game, and even defending them, we're good defending them and breaking out. But on the offensive, there's not. He showed from our second goal. I mean, he tried to mark Tarkowski and he just bullies them. Our old system's just bullying them. And yeah, I think we played very well. And as I say, Beto, whack the ball to Beto and he'll do everything he possibly can to win that ball. And he'll just fight and fight and fight. And that's what we've been complaining about as Everton fans. People not giving it all for the badge and stuff like that. So people are giving Beto flack for putting his body about and winning headers. And obviously, how easy was that, the pass from Garnagay, obviously the through ball, how easy did he get past the centre-back around the back and just have a shot on goal? He might have scuffed it wide, but it was like the power and pace that we haven't seen that for a long time. It was just so easy to create a chance like that. And next time he'll score it, I believe that.
Yeah, and it's easy to criticise, but you have to look at the runs that he does make, the fact that he's in the positions. I mean, the first half performance from Beto, some of those flick-ons that he won, you know, the one which he set up Dwight McNeil, he went through and it was a whisker right away, wasn't it, for him?
Yeah.
And getting our second goal would have been 2-0 at the time. But a lot of those kind of longer balls, should I say, that were getting sent up to him, we know how good he is in the game, we know how big he is. And his time will come in terms of scoring goals in the Premier League. And like Lee said earlier on, the fact that you've got now him, obviously you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you've got that competition. It's so important then that you've got a couple of players who believe they should both be starting, who both offer a lot to this side in the way that we play. And that will then push each other to become better. And I truly believe he'll score goals for us this season. And, you know, for someone to come in, let's go back to the Doncaster game when he literally signed, was it pretty much the day before? And then goes on for 45 minutes and between him and Garnagay changed that game for us and got a goal. He's looked for me, he's looked, I think, unorthodox, I think, in the way that he runs and the way that he carries himself. But he's got some fantastic attributes, which I think Everton can really use going forward. And we've got to be, I suppose, in you know, with what Calvert-Lewin said yesterday after the game in terms of, you know, when he got booed off against Aston Villa. We've got to be careful as fans in terms of when we look to pull players apart and give players stick and things like that, because, you know, we've got to give players time who come into the Premier League to adjust to the speed, to how we play, you know, to come into a new country. It's very difficult to adjust, and it does take time. But I think he's going to be a real player for us this season. But what one player that I want to look at and discuss in terms of the importance of them and the growing importance in the last probably 6 to 9 months is Decore. You know, obviously scores again yesterday. Fantastic finish, by the way. He always seems to find himself in those positions. Hits the bar, like Paul alluded to as well. You know, from a Tarkowski long ball, he brings it down, doesn't he? Does well, holds the man off and hits the bar. How important is Decore to us, Pete? Because I think, you know, the early part of this season, the fact that we only had 1 point going into the game, there was a lot of talk around the three in midfield, Onana, Garner and Decore. You know, someone needs to be dropped. His name was mentioned as well. You know, bring James Garner in, play him as a 10, put McNeil in as a 10. I just put Decore's heat map out on social media there, and it shows he's absolutely everywhere. But how important is he to this Everton side?
I mean, unquestionably. I mean, you only have to look at how reliant we've been on him over the past couple of seasons, and his, you know, his unbelievable resurgence since he's come into the Sean Dyche team. And I know he obviously was completely frozen out, wasn't he, under Frank Lampard? He literally became a forgotten man. But he gives us so much. He gets us up the pitch. He's incredibly difficult to play against. I know we seem to say it every time we're at the match, but his size, he looks much bigger than he actually is, because I'm sure he's only just kind of touching 6 foot, isn't he? But on the pitch, he looks like he should be about 6'3". And he's quick, isn't he? He's quick, he's strong. He's very unorthodox. He was really unlucky yesterday not to get the second goal. And he's one of those strange players where kind of the easy chances, he doesn't always tend to put away. But he scores so many unbelievably difficult goals. You know, he scored some real quality finishes with both feet. He can put his foot through it. He knows where the goal is. And he scores such important goals for us. You know, he tends to score goals for us that win games. So, you know, I'm not saying he's quite Everton legend status, but do you know what? If he keeps us up for another season, I think he's there, and I think he sold a few Decore shirts after what he did for us last season. But he's very, very reliable, isn't he, with his performances? And I think that's probably something he doesn't get enough credit for. It's very, very rare, or certainly I can't think of a game where you think Decore's gone missing, or where is he? But you know he's on the pitch, you know he's involved. And, you know, if we're playing badly, we tend to all be playing badly. It's very, very rare that he puts in a poor individual performance. And if he does come in for any stick, it might be that he's, you know, he's missed a chance that we think he should have put away. But he's there and he's in the right positions. And, you know, if I was a centre-half, I would not want him running at me with the ball. I would not want to be playing against him. And I think he gives us so, so much. You know, not to think too far forward, but it'll be interesting, I think, what happens with Dele Alli, or with that position in general, because I think if he did get injured, I think we'd really, really notice how reliant we are on him, and it would give us a real, real problem. So, you know, it might not have been a priority for the current window, but I think maybe making sure we've got some kind of backup for him in that position for maybe when he does need a rest. Or when he does inevitably pick up a knock. But, you know, that's another strength to his game as well. He's been so consistent for us, hasn't he? He's been so consistently fit, available. And really, you could even say that Dyche has arguably kind of built a side around Decore, hasn't he, with the system he plays. It would be very difficult. You know, you look at the bench that we've had available under Sean Dyche, there's not really anybody else that can come on and do what Decore does for us. Now, really, we have to change system if Decore comes off the pitch, we have to go to a 4-4-2. Well, as you were saying there with James Garner, if you play Garner or Onana, you're going to get a very different type of player in that role. You can't quite play the same way. You can't get up the pitch as quickly. You've not got someone that can carry the ball in the same way. So, arguably, Abdoulaye Decore is probably going to be the first or second name on your team sheet at the moment under Sean Dyche, and I you can't really pay him any bigger compliment than that, I don't think.
I think you can see as well, you saw it with the celebration with the goals as well, he's clearly well liked by the squad as well, isn't he? I know you said Lampard throws him out and we were all a bit baffled at the time. Obviously I think they'd had a big bust up, didn't they, apparently. But credit to him, he's come in, he came into the side when we needed him. And, even from his time before Everton, he was always a goal-scoring midfielder. And I think you're bang on there, Pete. I think, he gets into some great positions and he misses, when he seems to have time, he misses, the easy opportunities. And then he gets one like yesterday, which falls to him on the half volley, and he catches it so sweetly, doesn't he? Absolutely swings his leg at it right in the top bin. Keeper had no chance. You're thinking, where's that come from? You know what I mean? It's like you're almost shocked because he's obviously, he's not that typically silky French midfielder, is he? You know what I mean? He's like a little bit unorthodox, like you said. So massive credit. He's obviously clearly got a great attitude. Dyche clearly likes him. And, obviously Dan Juma sort of played behind the striker yesterday, didn't he? A little bit. He came a bit more central. Decore dropped back a little bit. So maybe, I know Dan Juma for me still is going to be best off the left. Left-hand side, cutting on that right side, on his right foot. But that's another problem again, though. Who starts now, McNeil or Dan Juma next game? Or Garner as well. This is the thing now. This is what you want. There's no way none of us would have predicted Dan Juma would have been dropped. Now, all of a sudden, you're thinking, how's he getting the team now? So, and that's exactly the headaches that we need Dyche to have. He's suddenly going to have problems. Okay, we might shake up a little bit against Villa. I can imagine some of the players that didn't start yesterday will probably start against Villa. And I imagine they'll make a few changes as well. But again, this is great. I can don't forget we've got the what's his face coming in as well. Played for the reserves the other day.
Jack Harrison.
Jack Harrison. Sorry, yeah. So and he's a guy. You can see just from the little snippets, even though it was only reserve football. Very direct, loves to run with the ball, loves to carry it. I believe he looked like he was playing off the right-hand side against Norwich in the reserves the other day, do you know what I mean? So, he's potentially now going to be pushing for a place, you know what I mean? And that's brilliant. It gives us more options again. So, hopefully now the key with Everton is consistency, isn't it? We've had a great win here now. It's going to lift the whole place. We've arguably got a chance now. To put a couple more wins together before the next international break, and that's what we need to try and do. Just try and keep this momentum going. I mean, I just wish, and I know it sounds a bit facetious, whatever, but I just wish we were playing like a minnow side in the week on Wednesday. We'd probably try and put four or five past them, just to raise it again. Instead, it's obviously going to be a really tough game against a decent Villa side who, let's be honest, put us away quite easily last time, even though we were a very different team then. So let's see how it plays out. But that's what I said before. Competition creates standards, and and I think that's exactly what we've been needing for a long time.
And I mind you, like you say, it gives him questions to answer. Good questions. Say the competition is there. We've got a busy week anyway with the League Cup, and then obviously Luton comes to Goodison Park. So there will be players will be given a chance, I'm sure, on Wednesday as well. But before we wrap up this just his first half, I just wanted to have a quick chat around Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Obviously, he's worked his way back after injury nightmare. Comes back against Aston Villa, breaks his cheekbone. As I said earlier on, he made reference to the fact that he was booed off by the fans of Villa Park on the day. He's come back in. He's worked his way back. He's been on the bench for the last couple of games, which is fantastic in terms of, like I said earlier on, the strikers pushing each other and creating that competition. But Paul, how good was it to see Calvert-Lewin back on the pitch and doing what he does best and what we know that he can do? Because it's a great ball by James Garner, by the way, lovely ball outside of the right foot. But it's a kind of run that we're used to seeing Dominic Calvert-Lewin making. He looked, you know, he was on for sort of, what, 25, 30 minutes yesterday. And to me, he looked like he looked at his best in terms of his hold-up play. He was good in the air. He was showing his pace, obviously, great finish. It's great to see him back and see him scoring goals, isn't it?
Yeah, as you said, they're both from Ghana, is absolutely quality. I mean, we haven't got a lot of players who can play outside of the football. I mean, it looked easy, but outside the football, between two players running, is a perfect ball. And Calvert-Lewin looked very good. Come on to an easy slot of the... He's very confident, isn't he? When he's on his game, you can put him through. He might miss a few, but he's an out and out striker. He knows where the goal is. He knows how to finish. He's athletic. He's agile. But yeah, it's good to see him come on. And I think, obviously, last time he went off with the broken cheekbone and some fans did boo him. I think if the fans would have been told he's broke his cheekbone, what do you want him to do? They would have. Oh yeah, because obviously. You're up there in the skies, looking down. I don't think you should boo any of your players, but it's frustration, isn't it? At the time, it was like, at that point, we were like, we need Calvert-Lewin to turn up. We're done for you. And when he goes off, you're thinking, oh, what are we going to do now? And it's just frustration, really. But Calvert-Lewin, he showed them, hasn't he, that we need Calvert-Lewin fit and well. And he showed how much of a great striker he is, really, because I think he had one chance and he put it away. He was only on 25 minutes. So, again, it shows when he's on his game, he's on his game. We go back to Brighton, the 5-1 away. He was unplayable in that match, holding the ball up, playing the ball off and just creating play and linking up. So we just need to realise that the players do want to play, and sometimes it's frustrating being an Everton fan and you want players to give more, but sometimes it's out of their hands, and if you've broken your cheekbone, you obviously can't play on, so... But hopefully now the fans will learn. And he's done his interview on Match of the Day. And a few people on Twitter last night I was reading were like, oh, he's had a go at the fans. But everyone's human, aren't they? I mean, if people had a go at me for what I'd done, I'd be like, well, hang on, I'm doing this now. So you just need to build a relationship. And hopefully from this, the fans can see that he does want to play for the team. And when he's fit, he does want to play. So, as I say, hopefully it's a good little challenge, Beto and him, to see who plays in a position, or if they can play together with Lichons and stuff.
You know what? Fair play. I agree with you, mate. Fair play. I don't mind him coming out and saying what he said, by the way. And like you said, there, he's right to say that. Why wouldn't you? You know, the lad carried on as well, don't forget. You know what I mean? And he was almost too brave for his own good going in for that challenge. You know what I mean? I tell you what, not many strikers would have done that. You know, he smashed his cheekbone on Martinez's shoulder. You know what I mean? I mean, that would have been incredibly painful. And obviously, after about another 10, 15 minutes, you could see, didn't it? You could see it's the swelling on his face. And like you said, yeah, look, it's frustration. And the fans probably didn't know exactly the extent of the injury. And they were just thinking, oh, here we go, he's off again. But you know what? I know his dad posted a tweet after the game, didn't he? Having a bit of a dig at the fans as well, saying, you know, what the hell do you expect? That sort of thing. But you know what? Fair play to him for calling it out on Match of the Day and saying as it is. You know what I mean? I got booed by some of my own fans, and I came back, you know, literally a few weeks later and scored a goal here that basically ended the game. And like you said, I agree with you. I don't think we should ever boo our own players. I agree. No matter how grim the situation is, we should be getting behind every single player. Now, obviously, it helps when you win in football matches. Of course it does. But, you know, I think, you know, Twitter in general can be an absolute nightmare for sort of negativity. And, you know, it just consumes everyone. I mean, I think that's basically the platform as a whole outside of football as well, never mind just for Everton Football Club. But yeah, really chuffed for him. Really, really chuffed for him. I think he looks sharp. And when he's fit and sharp like that, like you said, particularly against Brighton, you know, he's almost unplayable. There's not many number nines in world football like him. You know, football doesn't really produce old school number nines anymore. You know what I mean? And he's a bit of a throwback. Beto is as well, actually, and we've got two of them at our club. So, you know, imagine you're a centre half. You've just been playing against Beto, you know, 6 foot. What is he, Mike? 6'4", 6'5", something like that. Yeah. You know, and then 14, 15 stone. You know, suddenly you've had a hell of a game, and then Dom comes on. He's also rapid. He's also quick. He's also, you know, good in the air. He's got a good touch. And you're thinking, Jesus, this is a handful. This, you know, I've almost come up against two Didier Drogba style players here. And, you know, fair play. If we can keep them two fit, you know, and there will be times where they will play together. Definitely there'll be times where we need a goal and Dyche will have to put them in. You know, who's to say you won't put them both in against Villa and see how it, just experiment and see how it goes? You know, that's probably a game to do it in, isn't it? It's almost a bit of a nothing game. Well, not a nothing game, but a free hit, really, isn't it? Away to Villa, third round of the Cup. We used to say you might not try that. So, and look, Chimiti, a young lad there, is going to learn a lot from those two. You know, he's going to learn a lot. I know he didn't get any minutes yesterday. He came on briefly against Arsenal to try and get a goal. But look, he's going to learn a lot from watching those two play because he looks like a similar style of player as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that, again, it's what it's all about. You know, we've been saying for years about obviously having competition up top, but also having a striker who can, you know, come through over the next sort of 18 months, 2 years. If you look then, or if you lose one of your main strikers, they're good to go. So, you know, it'll do them the world of good to be around. Obviously, a fit Dominic Calvert-Lewin and a fit Beto and the way that they play and their influence on him could be massive. And who knows, you might see Yusuf Chimiti on Wednesday night. But I think it's important that I saw a couple of people yesterday having a bit of a go about the fact that, you know, Everton fans, and this is from Everton fans, by the way, going overboard because we won a game of football. Listen, let's enjoy it. It's been a tough slog on and off the pitch this season already. It was a tough slog for the last 2 years. We've gone away to one of the better sides outside, you know, your Sky Six clubs, who have done terrifically well since they've come into the Premier League over the last couple of years. And we've gone there, and it, for me, given them a little bit of a lesson in terms of how to go away to, you know, to a good club and win a game of football. And we deserve to enjoy it, so enjoy it. You know, we never know when your next win's going to come with this Everton side. Hopefully it's this week. But it's definitely we've got to enjoy these moments and you know, the performance that we saw yesterday. And you've got to say the minds, you've got to absolutely spot on, and the players applied themselves terrifically as well. But it's a big week ahead. There's a busy week ahead. Obviously, a couple of games we've mentioned already. Aston Villa in the League Cup on Wednesday before Luton comes to Goodison Park. The first time in many, many years we've seen Luton at Goodison Park. And we're going to discuss the week ahead after this short break. Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast as we have a quick chat about what's up and coming this week in terms of the games Everton have got. As we said, third round of the League Cup is first. Villa Park, we've already been absolutely battered there once this season in a really, really poor Everton performance. But we go there on the back of a morale boosting win, a good away performance at Brentford, before we welcome Luton to Goodison Park. But Peter, how much emphasis are you putting on Wednesday? You know, are you really that bothered? It's probably the best question that I can ask.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I'll be really honest, I'm, given the position we're in, I'm one of those Evertonians that just think I'm not that bothered about the League Cup. I think the FA Cup holds a different place in my heart, because I just think it's a fabulous cup competition and I do want us to be competitive. But as well, the FA Cup has a different structure and a different effect on the squad. So for me, I guess my interest in the game is how is it going to affect the team? And I think it's a bit of a strange one, really, because if he goes with the approach of, you know, more or less play as strongest team with a view of, yeah, not just trying to win the game, but I think trying to make sure that we go into Luton with the same, Bournemouth as well, with the same kind of positive momentum that we've come away from Brentford with. He risks, obviously, you know, injuries, fitness. Whereas if he, you know, tinkers with the squad a bit, tries to rest players, obviously there's the risk that we go there and we get absolutely battered again and then go into two very important home games with, you know, that kind of mental fragility again and, you know, coming off the back of a big loss, which obviously, you know, we don't want to happen. And you can see the psychological effects of defeats like that on the pitch and you can feel them in the stadium. So I do think it's a bit of a dilemma and I don't know what he's going to do. I think my expectation might be that he might persist with Beto and just rest Calvert-Lewin arguably completely. And maybe we might see Calvert-Lewin get a start in the next home league game. But I don't know what you lads think. I think it's a bit of a dilemma, and that's my biggest worry. I'm not that invested in whether we win the game or not. If we stay in the competition, fantastic. But you know, for me, the reality is we've been in a relegation scrap. We're likely going to at least be on the fringes of a relegation scrap again. And what we want is a fit squad and all our players available. We don't want to be picking up injuries. We don't want to be taking knocks. So I just kind of want to survive the fixture, really.
I think you're totally right. And it's what impact, if we don't win the game, we don't get through, what's the impact on the side? After you know, really picking ourselves up and getting a real morale-boosting win, it's what's the impact on the side if we do happen to lose the game heavily. You know, I said it last week, there's ways and means of losing a game of football. And hopefully, whatever happens, whatever changes are made, you know, we can either go on and win the game, which would be terrific, of course, or we can, you know, give a good account of ourselves, and at least show that, you know, we've learned from the Brentford game, we've learned from last time we played Aston Villa. But you've got to remember as well, Lee, you know, Aston Villa are in Europe. So they were in Europe, obviously, last week. They play today. They've got us on Wednesday. They're back in Premier League action on the Saturday. They've got Europe again the following week. So there's going to be changes, isn't it, to the side that Villa put out. We know it's a real solid side. It's a terrific side. They've recruited really well. And it's one of those games that probably both sides look at and potentially see it maybe as a bit of a hindrance.
Yeah, I like I said before, I do think Villa will make a lot of changes as well. You know, they had a tough game in Europe in midweek. You know, a lot of they lost the game. Obviously, a lot of people surprised by that. You know, Emery's track record in Europe is very good. You know, they've been playing pretty well in the Premier League. I think Dyche got it wrong when we played him in the league. We discussed that at the time. I think he went toe to toe with him, tried to press him high, and you know, they've got bags of pace going the other way, and they really sort of, you know, took us to the sword. But yeah, I can imagine that, you know, they're going to make a lot of changes. They've got some decent depth there. You know what I mean? Tielemans hasn't started a game for them in the Premier League this season yet. He came in Europe and played in that, you know, and he's a quality operator, you know, Belgian international. But, you know, I reckon they will make some changes. I can see the likes of Diaby being rested, who's been very good for them. Watkins being rested. You know, I can't see them going all out for this. I'll be very surprised if they put a really strong team out. The key for me is, like you just said there, is to try and keep the momentum going. You know, if we can get a win there, I mean, that'll be do wonders for the confidence. But I just think it's the way we go about it. You know, I wouldn't want us to go there and get turned over 4-0 again, because then suddenly that just affects the confidence yet again, doesn't it? That's what I was saying before. I was hoping we'd get, you know, a relatively easy home fixture against a sort of lower league side. You know, almost like a Doncaster in the last round. I know we made a meal of that game in the end, but you know, second half we showed the class in the end, but. Just something, you know what I mean? Something like that, which would be a relatively easy fixture, so we could try and build that confidence again. But it is what it is. We're playing a team that's in pretty decent form. But I do expect us to make some changes ourselves. Like Pete said, does he risk Dom? Probably not. I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, Mike, that he, you know, does he start with maybe even Shimity and give him a run out? And it's a chance to get, like I said, the likes of Harrison. I can imagine Harrison maybe playing, you know, 60, 70 minutes as well, and then being on the bench at the weekend if he comes through it unscathed. I can see that happening. I can see him playing Harrison off the right, and see how he looks. So yeah, it's an opportunity. I mean, to be honest, I would still play Branthwaite and Tarkowski at the back as well. By the way, you know, try and get them to keep on building this partnership. I thought Mikulenko's looked pretty good since he's come back in the side. Yes, he was at fault for the goal yesterday. He was miles out of position, got caught too far inside. But other than that, I thought he had a pretty decent game. Again, we know his limitations going forward. I thought Ashley Young did all right at right back, by the way. I thought he played all right as well. He looked pretty solid defensively. So, you know, overall, I hope he sticks with, you know, certainly the two centre-backs to keep that continuity going. I wouldn't want to see Keane thrown back in there, would you? I mean, obviously he was dreadful when we played him, but let's see how it pans out. I mean, look, if we were to get through, I agree with Pete. It's not really at the top of my priority list. You know, Everton have never won the League Cup, which is crazy for, you know, considering the size of the club we are. It's just one of those trophies, isn't it? We've never really had an affinity with. You know, it'd be interesting to see what side he picks, and it'd be interesting to see what side Emery picks as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do envisage changes from our side as well. If we look at the Doncaster game, obviously there was a few changes made here and there for that game as well. Obviously, Aston Villa are not Doncaster, so I'm sure the manager will be quite keen to keep the good feeling going, especially with what's to come on Saturday at Goodison Park. But Pete, what would you rather? Would you rather win Wednesday or win Saturday?
No brainer. Don't even have to answer it. You know what I'm going to say. And by the way, any Evertonian who says different needs to give their head a wobble.
Yeah, I know. I think we'll all probably agree that when we look at Saturday against Luton, that's the one which obviously all eyes will be on. And I think, you know, given the fact that haven't scored a goal at home, we haven't got any points at home so far this season, should have done based on the performances, but we haven't yet, you know, got anything from those games. So at home, it's been a little bit of a struggle. Is it mentally for the players? Did he not enjoy playing at Goodison Park? Is the pressure too much? You know, is there a mental block there? You know, because I said before the game yesterday as well, I was on the Toffee Blues on Thursday, and I said, I just think that at the moment, this side prefers to play away. And, you know, bar the Villa game, should have really beat Sheffield United. We did okay there. We created chances. Okay, we got a point from the game. And I thought we were terrific yesterday. So taking away that pressure of Goodison Park, is it a big thing at the moment? But we've got to win, haven't we, Pete? Basically, you know, Luton got the first points of the season at home to Wolves in you know, dramatic circumstances. How the penalty was given, by the way, I've got absolutely no idea. One of the worst decisions I've ever seen. You know, as Gary O'Neill said after the game, by the laws of the game, it wasn't a penalty. But they got the first points on the board. From what I saw on Match of the Day and the highlights that I saw, they had a few chances, Luton. Their XG was right up there, was much better than Wolves. So this game on Saturday, piece is really important, isn't it, for Everton to get some kind of home form going, to potentially string a couple of wins together in the Premier League, and also relieve a little bit of pressure for the players playing at Goodison Park.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? It's absolutely huge. But I think the massive positive of the win yesterday is it already takes on a different feel, I think, to what it would have if we would have drawn or lost that game, in that we've got a little bit of a cushion. I do think there'll be less pressure on the players now. And also I think the fans will feel it less going into the game now, having that kind of 3-point cushion. I just think it's so important, because now I think we've not just got that kind of psychological protection, but again, hopefully we can have the momentum and the belief just to take the game to them, you know, play like the home side, be aggressive, get at them, play quickly. Hopefully get the early goal or the first goal. And, you know, not to get too carried away, but I think if that happens, I think if we score first half, I think we could turn them over. And I think that's exactly what's needed. I think it'd be the best thing for us on both levels if we could beat them by two or three goals. And I'm not saying that's my expectation, but I think it would really help us, not just in terms of dealing a massive psychological blow on a, unfortunately, I hate to say this, you know, survival rival, let's say. But I think in helping us start our season and start to look up the table and again go into that Bournemouth game with less fear. I think that's what it's all about, less fear. I think there's been too much fear about, you know, we can't lose this game, or, you know, what will it mean for Everton to lose this game? And the win against Brentford is so massive for that reason. Like Lee was saying, the negativity that's been around the club, and what a win does to kind of puncture that and create a different story. And that's, you know, that's what Sean Dyche was talking about, wasn't he, in his is kind of both pre and post match, that it's only Everton that can change the story, and it's only the players. And I think that they're starting to do that. And Luton is another big opportunity to keep going in that direction. So it's an absolutely huge game, but I do think it's a different type of game already because of the success we've had yesterday. And I'm feeling a lot more positive about the game, and I've got a lot more belief that we can really, really hurt Luton.
And I think from our perspective as well, watching that Luton game yesterday, or looking, you know, watching the scores come through, seeing Wolves go down to 10 men, obviously Wolves then took the lead. But then when Luton got back to 1-1, you're almost willing to get the first win in a way, because the Everton fan in you says the first win is yet to come. You know exactly what's going to happen at Goodison Park on Saturday. So it's that kind of thinking as well. They're going to be eager to, obviously, they need to kickstart their season. As I say, they've got a point, which is massive for them. You know, everyone's picked to finish bottom of the table or in the bottom three. And that might sound really disrespectful. That was just the feeling, as I say, across the board. I'm not saying me personally, but across the board before the season started. You know, the story that they've got from where they've come from, what they've gone through to get in the Premier League is unbelievable. You know, it's absolutely amazing for them to be at the top table of English football. But it's a game that us as Everton fans, you know, we've got our eyes on, as we've got to take 3 points. You know, even before the game against Brentford, and we discussed it, we could quite easily have been on 1 point after six games. Luckily, we're on four. But all eyes were on Luton and Bournemouth coming next at Goodison Park, because of what comes after as well, and the importance of the manager getting some kind of points from those games to make everyone, including him, feel a little bit better. But are you nervous going to that game, Lee, you know, in terms of the fact that Luton haven't won a game, the fact that we probably all believe we're going to be fighting with them at the bottom end of the table? And it's important that we pick points off them and try and pull away as early as we can.
No, mate. No, none of this negativity, mate. Come on. I know that's it. That's the Everton, and you're coming out there saying that Luton are going to get their first win against us because they're due it. That's been indoctrinated into us, isn't it, over the years? That, but I personally think, genuinely, although they put up a good performance against Wolves yesterday, I think we'll have too much for them. I'd be very surprised. Obviously, look, they'll put up a fight, like, you know, a lot of the promoted teams do early doors, don't they? You know, before they get on a bit of a bad run, and then obviously, you know, they then tend to be. And I expect them to be whipping boys for most teams this season, by the way. And that's no disrespect to them. I just think, you know, they've done fantastically well, as you said, to get in the Premier League. The cash injection that'll give them. But when you look at the quality across their team, you know. I expect a lot of teams to beat them, and I expect us to do it as well. And if we play anywhere like we did yesterday, not just in terms of quality, which I thought was there yesterday, but in terms of just, you know, don't take them for granted. Do you know what I mean? Go in there, play with the same intensity, be aggressive, win the second balls. And hopefully we can start turning this home form around. We discussed it last week, didn't we, on the podcast? The home form has been absolutely dreadful. It should be nowhere near what it should be at Goodison Park. I expect it's a real opportunity for us to get another win. And like you said, there's the game after that against Bournemouth is another real opportunity as well. So I should be looking at this now going, look, there's no foregone conclusions in football. We know that. But this could take a bit of the pressure off him as well if he can get a couple of wins together, as I said, before the next international break. Because that'll really then sort of hopefully put us in and around mid-table or something like that. And I believe currently, and this is with if the players stay fit, and I know our squad is fairly thin, especially in certain areas, but if the players stay fit, I genuinely think this is a mid-table Premier League team right now, genuinely. It's not a European level team. You know, I mean, we don't have the strength and depth for that. But for me, if we keep, you know, certain players fit, then definitely this is a sort of, you know, 12th, 11th, 10th football team. I don't think we should be anywhere near the bottom, the bottom three, four, five for me. I do think Luton will struggle this year, as they've shown already. Burnley will definitely struggle, we know that. And I think there'll be a few other teams in and around there as well. But I expect this, to really stamp our authority on that game. And if we can get an early goal, I expect us to hopefully maybe get a couple more, because with these strikers in the team now, we look a way more of a goal threat than we did last season, don't we? We look way more of a goal threat than we did at any point last season. And like I said before, you've got Decore chipping in as he was with a roughly one and two game goals per game ratio. You've got Harrison coming in who's got a goal in him. McNeil's got a goal in him. Dan Juma's got a goal in him. So suddenly all of a sudden we do look a lot more of a goal threat, don't we?
I think we said that though, haven't we? The fact that, when we do have all our players fit, including obviously the returning Jack Harrison as well, there should be goals in this side, especially now with, as I say, with a couple of strikers who are of a good level. We know obviously how good Dominic Calvert-Lewin can be. We've seen it under Carlo Ancelotti, the number of goals that he scored. Beto, we've seen him even in the first sort of, two or three games that he's played in, what he's all about and what he can bring to this side. And he will improve, as we said earlier on in the show. Dan Juma scored a couple of goals. Decore scored a couple of goals. You've got obviously some set pieces, as we showed yesterday, when we got back to what we were doing so well under Sean Dyche last season. We were a threat from set pieces. We're the biggest side in the Premier League. We are the biggest side in the Premier League. So the fact that we've been so poor since the start of the season has been absolutely baffling. But having the likes of Tarkowski obviously off the mark yesterday, Branthwaite, Beto, Calvert-Lewin, Amadou Onana, Decore, who, as Pete said, he's not quite 6 foot, but he looks about 6 foot five. But he's a threat as well from set pieces. So, we should have, when everyone is back fit, goals on this side. And obviously, Jack Harrison getting 45 minutes for the under-21s on Friday. Important. He looked lively. Obviously, tiredness set in for the last 15 in the first half, but he looked a real threat in that first half an hour. He should be available for, if not Villa, then definitely the Luton game, you would have thought, just to be in and around the squad. So it starts to look at that a little bit better now. And if you just got Seamus Coleman missing from the squad, there are goals in it. There are. We do look a bit more solid with the players that we've got. And one thing I forgot to say earlier on, but one thing I want to say is Ashley Young's coming for a lot of stick from us, especially as well, by the way. But I thought yesterday, after getting a booking inside about 2 minutes, his discipline for the rest of the game was terrific. I thought he did really, really well. I thought he played well. He read the game well. And that's great to see. Aston Villa fans told us that, they were a bit gutted that he actually didn't sign a new one-year deal with them, and he chose to come to us. And I thought yesterday was his best performance, given the fact he was booked so early on. And that's what we want to see. We want to see players, in a little bit of form and bringing something to the game. And we know Ashley Young over the years has been a terrific player. And we know at 38 years of age, he's not going to be the same player he was 10 years ago. But we've got to start seeing players having the selections justified. And I think yesterday we saw that with him. So, the feel-good factor has returned. Hopefully, it can last longer than just one game. Hopefully, it's going to be a real positive week this week. But let's round off with our predictions for the Luton game. We'll leave the Villa game. Listen, anything can happen in the cup games, can't it? And we don't know who's going to start, who's not going to start. But the Luton game is the one, I think, and Everton fans will look to that and put a lot of importance on that game to get 3 points. But Pete, what's your prediction for the Luton game?
I'm going to say 3-0.
Very, very positive. Lee, are you full of the same kind of positivity?
I'm going to agree with Pete. I'm going to say 3-0 as well. And I think it'll be needed. Obviously, we don't count your chickens, of course. But I do think, like I said before, there is gold in this team. And the longer we can keep Branthwaite and Tarkowski playing together, the more comfortable I'll feel at the back as well. I thought both of them, as I said, were brilliant yesterday in different ways as well. Branthwaite is so comfortable on the ball, isn't he? His passing is brilliant. Two-footed, opens up that side of the pitch. I agree with Pete. I'm going to say 3-0.
I'm going to say 2-0. I'll take any kind of win. I say that Goodison Park this season has been really, really, well, it's not born against Arsenal. I was close to falling asleep then. But the first two games we should have really won, but not to see an Everton goal so far in those first three home games has been really disappointing. But I think it's certainly time to change that. But I'm going to say 2-0. And I'd just like a game where we can get a couple of goals ahead and feel fairly relaxed. Let us boss a game of football and let the fans relax over the course of the 90 minutes. But it's a big game. It's an important game. Obviously, that pressure reliever win against Brentford is absolutely massive, and it does take a little bit of pressure off the manager, off the players. Hopefully, they can play a bit more relaxing football themselves as well, and not be so uptight and on edge at Goodison Park, because we need to get back to Goodison Park being a difficult place to visit for opposition teams, which it hasn't been for a long, long time. But that is us for today. Thanks for listening, as usual. Thanks to Paul, he was on in the first half. If you can do, obviously, make sure you give them a follow on social media, on Twitter, at kitted out1. Loads of stuff going on before Christmas to help, obviously, the kids in the local area to sort them out with football kits of the favourite team. And we'll be back ourselves next weekend to look back on that Luton game, and obviously the Villa game in midweek as well, and look ahead to another home game after that, which is against Bournemouth. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues. Three Opinions. One Everton Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.